gospel that this is what the Holy Spirit did. One of the things I have found as I've walked with the Lord, and you have, I hope you have found too, and if you haven't, you will as you spend time with the Lord, God most often will speak to us through His Word. Now, He can speak in any number of ways. He's God. He's God. But He most often speaks to us through His Word. So I encourage you to get into the Word of God. And as you come to the Word of God, keep your heart open and let Him speak to you through His Word. I believe He does. He does, and I believe He will. So under our map icon, you can look at last week's for that. Today we're going to meet, for under the people, we're going to meet Bar Jesus and Sergius Paulus. Hey, let me go ahead and give you a little footnote here. Whenever you see, even today, the name, a Middle Eastern name that begins with Bar, B-A-R, and there was, I think it was one of the, can't remember his name now, one of the earlier secretary generals of the UN, and his name was, can't remember, anyhow, Bar was in his name. Whenever you see that in a Middle Eastern name, it always means son of, okay? Remember when we met Barnabas in chapter 4? Barnabas, son of encouragement. Barabbas, son of Rabbis. So whenever you see that bar, it means son of. So here we meet Bar Jesus. I remember the first time in modern history when I met a young Spanish-speaking guy on the West Coast. I was teaching some English on the West Coast. And I looked at his name and I thought, oh, heresy, because his name was J-E-S-U-S. And you know, to me, it's like, well, no, only Jesus should have that name. But of course, because he was Spanish-speaking, it was pronounced Jesus, right? And that still, we as Christians look at it and say, well, the name Jesus, it's for Jesus, Jesus only. But that was a very common name, very common Jewish name. And it came from the Old Testament, Joshua, and it had to do with Savior and Deliverer. So it was a name that many Jewish parents gave to their sons because it was a good name with a good meaning. So, we meet Bar Jesus today, and then we're going to see at least two firsts. Saul's going to start using his Roman name Paul in Acts 13:9, and he's going to keep on using it from now on. We're also going to see Paul's first recorded sermon, and I already know we're going to talk about it in just a minute. I know what you did. If you read Acts 13 and 14, I know what you did when you got to the sermon. Your eyes glazed over. You turned off your brain and you zipped through the sermon and then went on to the action. We're going to look at something that will help us today with Paul's sermon and then some other things for us to look at. So if you'd like to, you may turn to the back part of the page, and then this will take us through as we go through. Okay, so our conclusion today, sent out by the Holy Spirit, they complete the work. So remind you again, let's see if I got it turned on. I've got it on. Okay, here we go. So last week we looked at our bookends. Here is the first part in Acts 2 through 4. The Holy Spirit says, set apart, I've called them. He speaks to the, he's already spoken to Paul and Saul and Barnabas. And then he speaks to the church. They fast and they pray. They confirm that it is the Holy Spirit, that he is leading. It's never wrong. It's never wrong to say, God, is this you? Especially when it's a big step. It is not lack of faith. It's when your heart is sincere and you want to know, God, is this you? You can ask him. You really can. And he will always answer a sincere prayer. Now, he will not always answer a doubting heart. He won't. Or a reluctant heart. But a sincere heart, he will answer. And so they realize this is the Holy Spirit. And then they're sent out by the Holy Spirit. And then, so that's one bookend. What's the other bookend? It comes at the end of chapter 14. They sail back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God. We talked about this last week. In all that they did, they were entrusted to the grace of God, and how needed that was, because they were going to go through really hard times. They were going to face demonic opposition. Paul was going to be stoned and left for dead. They were going to be kicked out of cities when they preached the gospel. People were going to mock them and scorn them and revile them. All sorts of things were going to happen. So they were going to have to know that they had been entrusted to the grace of God, kept by the grace of God, and that they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. And as we're going to see today, they knew it, and that kept them all the way through. And then they finished the work, and we talked about this last time as well, an encouragement for you and for me. Has God called you to do something? Are you in the middle of the work of the Lord? Are you part of something, and you've grown discouraged? Keep on going. Reorder your focus. Get together with God if you want to give up and if you've grown discouraged. If you're in a relationship that you're ready to give up on, get back together with God and get what you need from God and then keep on going. Finish the work. Finish the work. Don't give up. And today we're going to have an example, a terrible example of the young man, John Mark, who didn't finish the work. He didn't finish the work. And we'll have this wonderful picture of Paul. As we're getting into the interior, we're going to have this picture of Paul who is stoned and left for dead. Now, I don't know about you, but me, if I were stoned and left for dead after preaching the gospel, I would want to go home at that point. Wouldn't you? Of course. Of course. But Paul gets up. Keeps on going. He's going to finish the work. And that's why Paul can say at the end of his life when he writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy, he can say with such confidence, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. And now there is a crown for me. There's a crown for me. And this is, and then he encourages Timothy and us by saying, and there's a crown for everyone who do the same thing. So hang in there, brothers and sisters. Let's make it to the end. And so the grace of the work they've completed, and they go to the church. And I love verse 27. For those of us who are missionaries, Julie's just come back from the U.S. And I can tell you, Julie, were you at any sort of missions meetings and missions conventions? Yes, she was. Well, here in verse 27 and 28, which we're not looking at, is the first, I didn't put it in your notes, it's the first missionary convention ever in the world. And what a missionary convention it was. Don't you love to hear missionary stories? I do too. I'm always so encouraged. I'm always so excited. Imagine sitting in on this missionary conference as Paul and Barnabas tell the stories of what God has done and what they've been through. Whew, pretty great. So these are the bookends for us, right? So here we go. As we get into it, Lord help me to, we'll go as far as we can go. And if we don't finish, then we'll come back to it next week. And so we start out again. Here's Antioch. This is where they start. And so they go, I'm not going to read everything. You've got eyes. We can read together. We'll just look at a few of them. And so they start out from Antioch, and then let's follow the line. Okay. They'll go down to the seacoast of Seleucia, and they make it to Salamis. The island of Cyprus is only about 60 miles away. So it's an easy journey. And remember, they go there because Barnabas, the Holy Spirit is practical, and Barnabas is from Cyprus. So that makes good sense. So they go there, and it says that John Mark went with them as their assistant. John Mark is from Jerusalem. What do we know about him? We actually know quite a lot. He's younger than they are. He is a Jewish Jew, if we want to put it that way. We know that he's from a well-to-do family because his mother, Mary, had a house large enough for them, for the church, a lot of the church in Jerusalem to meet. It's where they had the prayer meeting. And we also know that it was a well-to-do family because she had servants or slaves, probably slaves that were serving. So keep this in mind. John Mark, all his life, has had servants and has been served. Now, John Mark is going to be the servant. Have you ever found it hard to take a lower position? It's not always easy, is it? But Jesus himself said, I came to serve, not to be served. And he said, we are going to be like him if we're going to be his disciples. And so John Mark goes with them. They go across the entire They go across the entire island. And I want to ask you something, and this is in your notes. Where do they go? What place do they go to first? What do we read in verse 5? They went to Jewish synagogues. What was a synagogue? It wasn't the temple, but this is in your notes. It was a place where devout Jews would meet. They would meet on the Sabbath, which was a Saturday, and then at other times as well. They would meet to hear the Old Testament read. They would pray. And this was also where, if there was somebody visiting, they would be often asked, bring a word of encouragement, if it was a person that had education and training. How wise and smart of the Holy Spirit to lead Saul and Barnabas still at this point, to Jewish synagogues. Why? Saul was trained by Gamaliel. A lot of people believe he was a rabbi, a teacher himself. Surely, in any synagogue they visited, the door would be open for him to speak. And so that's where he starts. Even though he and Barnabas are called to reach Gentiles, he starts in the Jewish synagogues. Because there also would have been Gentiles in these synagogues that hated the Greco-Roman. When I say Greco, that means the Greek-Roman. So the Greco-Roman, the pagan religion with its idolatry, with its sexual immorality, and there were Gentiles who didn't want that and who found Judaism appealing to them, one God and a code of morality and things like that. So they would have been there as well. And so they start there. And when you read the book of Acts, you'll find that throughout the book of Acts, this is the pattern, okay? So this is the pattern. And the pattern is that they go to the synagogues first. So they go there and they travel until they finally reach Paphos. And what do we find? Okay, so there we followed that. So what happens when they get to Paphos? Something different happens when they get to Paphos. Here we go. So when they reach Paphos, suddenly there is in Paphos, there's a man called Sergius Paulus. And Sergius Paulus is the governor, is the proconsul, or the proconsul it's called, or the governor of the island of Cyprus. And he hears about Saul, and he hears about Barnabas and the message, and he asks them to come tell them the gospel. Now, this is kind of interesting because the pattern changes. Saul and Barnabas don't go to a synagogue. A Greek leader, a Greek-Roman leader says, would you come and share the gospel with me? John Mark is with them. And then what do we find? We find that when they go to Sergius Paulus, that there is a sorcerer, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus, or son of Jesus. So he's there. He's part of the court. Sergius Paulus is an intelligent man, but Elymas the sorcerer opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Listen, brothers and sisters, as we look at this next part, when you try to share about Jesus with people, when you try to share the good news with people, you can study all you want to, and you should study. You can prepare all you want to, and you should prepare. You can learn the four spiritual laws, and it's good to learn the four spiritual laws. You can learn about eggs and chairs. It's okay. Some of you are saying eggs and chairs. Those of you who are studying EE, Evangelism Explosion, you know about that. It's okay to study about eggs and chairs. It's okay to, how many of you are, any of you are wearing your evangelism bracelets this morning? You're still wearing it? Okay, great, Cindy, and others. All right, and Carlotta. Some of you are wearing, all of these things are good, and we should prepare as much as possible. But what I want to say to you is this morning. Reaching people for Jesus is, although they may deal with the intellect and other things like that, it is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of the spirit. It is a spiritual thing. And human intellect will convince no one. It will convince no one. It's a spiritual matter. It is between light and dark. It is a matter of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. And if you are going to reach people for Jesus, there is going to be, at some point, there's going to be opposition. There are going to be people say, well, I'm not interested. There may be some people who actively oppose you, or it may just be, I don't care about it. And what I want to say to you is this. If you want to reach people, you better get ready. If you want to reach people, you're going to have to touch and get into God and get plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't fight and win against the devil. You can't. You can't. And then we read Saul, also called Paul. Bing, 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 bing. Here we go. From now on, Saul is called Paul from this verse onward. Why? He's now in a Greco-Roman audience, and his name Paul is used, and that's his Roman name. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He stared straight at the sorcerer, and he said, oh, so politically incorrectly, for those of us who are Americans, you son of the devil. Now, how would you like it if somebody said that in church when you went to church? You son of the devil. And he didn't stop there. Full of deceit. Ouch. And all fraud. Enemy of righteousness. Okay. Now, some of us, and I've camped on this a little bit, because some of us look at this and it just seems like Paul lost his temper, right? Is that what it seems like?
Yeah.
Paul's just, that, of course, that's what it looks like. Paul got mad and said, what are you, whatever? But I want you to see something this morning, and here's a lesson for us as well. Look very, very carefully, because I remind you that Paul and Barnabas, Lord helping me, I'll say Paul from now on, were sent out by the Holy Spirit. That means they are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. That means they are in tandem. That means they're working with the Holy Spirit. That means that their plans, it's with the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit's guiding them, leading them, directing them, equipping them, empowering them. And Paul is, what does it say? Filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, of course he was filled with the Spirit. I know that. No. This means a special filling at that moment. A special pouring out of the power and the discernment of the Holy Spirit for the need of the moment. For the need of the moment. And he looks at Elymas the sorcerer and he says, filled with the Holy Spirit, he hasn't just lost his temper and he starts fussing at somebody. That's flesh. That's flesh. And we got to be careful about that. Now, all of us can get in the flesh and say something like that, can't we? All of us can carnally say, rah, 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 and tell somebody off and then say, well, I was really filled with righteous anger and I talk. Well, a lot of times it's just us. It's not filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We're laughing, but we know that's true. But it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, remember what we said? God's gifts build the church. He gives us his gifts. I want you to see with me right here. Two things happen right here. He's filled with the Spirit. And he has the gift of discernment at this minute, right? Right? So is it the gift of discernment and not else? There is a prophetic gift at that moment as well. And he looks at him and he pronounces judgment, God's judgment on Elymas. Why? Why does he do that? Because Elymas is trying to keep somebody from coming to the knowledge of salvation, from coming into the kingdom of God. And God cares about people coming into his kingdom. God cares when you share with somebody that people come into his kingdom. That's why you've got to get hooked into God. That's why you've got to plug into God so that when you share, you've got something there that will fight against. You've got someone there. Of course, I know the Holy Spirit lives in us. But do you see here? This is a special empowering at that moment. We've got to have him if we're going to do his work. That's the only way to do it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Gene. It does. And he will help us and he will tell us. And so this happens. So he says he pronounces God's judgment. He doesn't do it himself. This comes from God. What happens next? I'm so sorry. I know that's really, really low, and I almost put it on another slide. But anyhow, I'm gonna keep it there. Look at verse 12. Then the proconsul, seeing what happened, believed and was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. Here's this beautiful picture. Some of us are so modern, and some of us are so intellectual. We say, don't talk to me about signs and wonders and miracles and this and that. You know, let's just talk about the Word of God. Okay, let's talk about the Word of God. Here's an intelligent man. God, the message is being preached, and God displays his power, and the power of God and the message of God work together, and salvation enters. Salvation comes to Sergius Paulus. Salvation comes to Sergius Paulus. We're going to see how important that is in just a minute. Often that is how it works. So hang on to that. And we're going to look at something else in just a few verses on. And so we see this. Remember, they're sent out by the Holy Spirit. You are sent out by the Holy Spirit. I am sent out by the Holy Spirit. He cares about your life. You say, I'm not a missionary. He cares about your life. Do you go to a business every day? You're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Do you go to a school every day? You're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. You go work in somebody's home every day? You're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need to get that in our hearts and get together with God so that as we go forward and as we go out and do what we do every day, we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and He does His work through us and He does His work in us. Not just some missionaries who are called by God to do that. Amen. Amen. And then what happens next? They leave Paphos, and then where do they go? Does anybody remember? Okay, they go to Perga. It's a port town. It's in the area of Pamphylia, okay? This area is present-day Turkey, okay? Area of present-day Turkey. That's the port town. There's only one thing that, right now, there's only one thing significant about Perga. You know what's significant about Perga? Sadly, John Mark leaves them at this point. John Mark leaves them. Why does John Mark leave them? And we've talked a little bit about it, but I want you just to think with me for just a minute. We get to Perga, John Mark leaves. Why does John Mark leave? Well, if you're reading your Bible, you will see what happens. Oh, I am so sorry. How many of you have been at a higher position and then had to take a lower position? I hope all of us have had to do that. It's good experience for all of us. Look with me at verse 13. What does it say? Remember how they started out? Barnabas and Saul. What is it now? Paul and his companions. Paul, etc. Okay? Paul, etc. Is it possible that John Mark was unhappy that Barnabas was no longer the leader? Now Paul was the leader. He was demoted. It might have been that. Was it possible that the work was harder than he expected? After all, he came from a well-to-do family with servants, and now he was the servant. Was it possible that he was afraid? We faced a demon-possessed sorcerer. I didn't know it was going to be that hard. I'm afraid. Possible. Perga, this area, was low-lying, and there were a lot of streams, and historical records tell us there was a lot of malaria in this area. And if you read, now you say, where is that? Some of it comes from history, but if you will read later on in some other of Paul's writings, do you know what Paul says? Paul writes, and he says, when I came to you in Galatia, because that's where he's going next, right? This is why you want to read the whole Bible, not just a few verses. Paul says, when I came to you, I was sick. So it may have been fear of disease or something like that. Or it may have been, most likely, a prejudice that John Mark had against the Greeks. He was a Jew of Jews. And all of the Greeks he had known, they had to sort of become Jews first. They had to be circumcised. They had to keep the law. And then they also became Christians. And now here are Paul and Barnabas, Sergius Paulus. He wasn't even in a synagogue. And they went to see him. Most Bible scholars believe the reason that John Mark deserted them in Perga is because he disagreed with the work and the message that Paul and Barnabas were preaching. I was thinking about that yesterday, and I was thinking about our hearts as humans and our hearts as Christians. Prejudice and cultural pride, I believe, runs deep in most of our hearts. It really does. Really does. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal and to uncover. And it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to dig it out as well. It really, really does. That's likely what was going on here. And when we have that in our hearts, it stinks. God hates it. God hates it because it causes division in His church. It's okay if it's like this, but not if it's like this. And most believe that's why John Mark left them. You say, well, Pastor Jennifer, I think you're reaching a little bit. I don't think it's that or whatever. When we look at chapter 15, you'll see some other things and you'll go, oh, okay. Do you know why I say that? One of the reasons I say that? Where does John Mark go when he leaves them? Does he go back to Antioch? Where does he go? He goes all the way back to Jerusalem. He goes all the way back to Jerusalem. And so Perga is known for that. But what happens? Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia up here. So let's see what happens next. There we go. We follow that up there. Now, let me give you a little bit of background there. And you say, okay, stay with me as we look at that. Do you know why this is important for us? This is important because who did they meet here? Sergius Paulus, who was the governor of the island. Guess what? Historical records show that the family of Sergius Paulus was based in, guess where? This Antioch. There are many historical records that show. And so most scholars believe that after they brought the gospel to Sergius Paulus, probably Sergius Paulus said, would you please go to my family and my friends in Pisidian Antioch and let them know this good news? Because you know what the Bible says? They land in Perga and it says nothing about preaching. It says they go right on up to there. So that's probably what happens. They go on up to there, and as they get there, what do? They travel there. That's a long way. That's about 150 miles. And they get there. They go to they go on a Sabbath to the synagogue for the services. And then when they see that Paul is there, they send a message. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. Bingo. This is why they were going to synagogues. Now, this is where your eyes glaze over. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me, because there's a wonderful thing here. This sermon is one of the four great evangelistic sermons in the book of Acts. There are four long ones. This is one of them. This is the third one. Peter gave the first one. Who gave the second one? Stephen, just before he was stoned. Here comes the third one now with Paul. And let's look at it. So before our eyes glaze over, they say, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement, come give it. So Paul stood, he lifted his hands, and he started speaking. Now, if you've got your Bibles, you can look. It's 25, 26 verses long. It starts here in verse 16. It goes to verse 41. And I know you so well because I know me so well. You want to skip over the sermon. But don't skip over the sermon. Here's how we look at it, okay? The sermon has 3 points. Are you ready? And it's 3 points that are good for us as well. Are you ready? First recorded sermon, 16 to 41. Here are the 3 points. Paul says, and this is the pattern for most of his other preaching to Jews. Look with me, and it's in your notes. Number one, our history leads us to Jesus. Number two, the message of Jesus' death and resurrection is for us. And number three, Jesus makes us right with God. Now, he's speaking to a Jewish audience, a Jewish gathering, and Greek as well, that have come to Judaism. But when I look at this, do you know what I see in this sermon? I see in this evangelistic sermon something for us as well. Something that we can use. Something that can reach people as well. What is the unifying thread in all 3 points? What is it? Thank you, Keith. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We can talk to people about all sorts of things. You may start in any number of areas, but brothers and sisters, when you want people to meet God, get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. Jesus is the one who will save them. Jesus is the one who will help them. Now, you may not start with Jesus, because a lot of people will say, oh, you're talking about Jesus. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Well, start where they are. Actually, that's what Paul does. He starts where they are. They're Jewish, he's Jewish. And so he starts on common ground. Start on common ground. He doesn't start with Greek philosophers. He doesn't start with God the Creator. He does that later with Greeks and Romans. But here he starts on common ground. And he says, our history leads us to Jesus. Oh, the Jews were so proud of their history. God did this and God did that. And so he starts there. He says, our history leads us to Jesus. The second one, it's for us. Oh, that's good news too. Because a lot of people say, well, that, you know, when I was in China and I used to share the gospel, you know what my students would tell me quite often, so often, they would say, that's for Westerners. Have you ever heard that before? That's for Westerners. Sure. That's for Westerners. We have our own whatever. And then they would mention Buddhism, which is not originally Chinese, and Hinduism, not originally Chinese, and other things as well. And so the message of Jesus, it's for us. It's for us. And then Jesus makes us right with God. Jesus makes us right with God. Oh, that was what they needed to hear. Why? Because the Jews kept every law. They sacrificed. They did this. They did that. They did all of these things so that they could be right with God. Now, you say, Pastor Jennifer, how do you know that there are 3 points? It's really easy. Look with me at what comes next. Okay? Men of Israel and you God-fearing Gentiles. Point one. And there's the verse, key verse for you. Secondly, 26. Brothers, you sons of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles. Oh, every time he addresses them, right? Every time he makes a point. And the third one, aha, here we go, verse 38. Brothers, listen, we're here to proclaim. Does that make sense to you this morning? So instead of going, hiya, another sermon, and go glazing through, take some time and let the Holy Spirit lead you. So in a nutshell, here's the sermon that Paul preaches. In a nutshell, this is what Paul preaches the rest of the time when he's talking to Jews. This is how he goes. Now, some of you say, this is, Pastor Jen, that's great, but this is still not very inspiring. Stay with me. It's gonna get more inspiring in just a minute. But this gives us a framework, and it helps us to see how Paul reached them. So what happens next? The people are interested. And they say, come back next week and talk to us again. And so Paul does. Have you ever shared with somebody and they were a little bit interested but not ready to fully commit? Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on sharing. Keep on trying. And so they come back the next Sabbath. They speak again. And two things happen. A bunch of the Jews say, this is not what we want, because the Jews get jealous. Wow, look at Paul and Barnabas. Look at these people preaching about Jesus. Look at all these people they have, and they get jealous. And so opposition rises, and then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared. And here's what I want you to see. Remember what I said to you? You're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Remember what I said? Paul and Barnabas are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. How can you and I speak out boldly when opposition rises against us, when we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, they're smarter than I am. I'm opposed. They opposed me, and oh, maybe I'll go somewhere else now, maybe whatever. Listen, brothers and sisters, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly. And what do? They say, the Lord gave us this command. When you and I are doing what we do and we're going out, what we need to know is this. What we need to have centered in our hearts and in our lives is this. The Lord gave us this command. And you may say, yeah, but I'm not called to be a missionary. Well, what has God called you to be? What has God led you to be? Then be that, whatever it is, and know that the Lord has given you a command in your life. This is not just all for missionaries. This is for all of us. This is for our lives. What has God called you to be? And some of you this morning say, well, I don't know. Well, find out. I'm sorry. I'm not mad at you. But none of us are children here this morning, brothers and sisters. Yet some of us are still floating in our lives. We are. You need to know what God has called you to do. You need to become what God has called you to be. And that comes in time spent with God. You need to know to use these words, the command of God for your life. And once you know the command of God for your life, you can stand. May I share a personal experience? I am a woman, single, and you said, oh, yeah. Red alert. I am a woman and single, and I'm a pastor. Do you know how much opposition I have had in my life? You have no idea. You say, oh, Pastor Jennifer, it's whatever. You have no idea. You don't know what people have said to my face or said about me that I have heard, or the put downs because, well, you can't blah, 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 or this or that or whatever. And maybe another time we can look at, okay, what does the Bible say about women in pastoral roles and things like that? And I understand all of those things. There's all of that. How have I stood and made it to this point? I'm being very practical with you this morning and being very open and transparent with you this morning. I've been able to get to this point because I know that the Lord gave me this command. I know it. I know it. And when I know it, then I don't get my feelings hurt when people say things about me. I don't. I just say, well, the Lord has given me this command. We get our feelings hurt. Well, they said this and they did that. Just keep on going. If you know what God has called you to do, if you know His command for your life, then you can do it and you can be it. You don't have to please people. You just have to please God. You have to please God. And you know how you please God? By just following His command. And by finishing the work He's called you to do. It really, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to just make it so simple in black and white. It really is that simple. It really is that simple. Now, following through is not all that simple. Because Paul and Barnabas, to follow through, were kicked out of synagogues. Paul and Barnabas, to follow through, were stoned and left for dead. Paul and Barnabas, to follow through, had crowds rise up against them and mobs go against them. The working out of it may take something out of you. It may take some flesh from you. It may take some hard things. Remember what Paul said at one point? I bear in my body the scars of Christ. I think he was talking about when he got stoned a little bit later in this journey. That's what I think. Because you don't get stoned without there being some scars to show for it. But they finished it. Why? Because they knew and they were confident in the command of the Lord. And they could speak boldly when opposition came. And they could stand. I encourage you this morning. And I challenge you this morning. And obviously, we don't have time to finish. And we're going to have to stop in the next minute or two. But I encourage you this morning. If you don't yet know what God has for your life. It may be the 10-year plan. It may be the 5-year plan. It may be the 1-week plan. That's okay. Find out what God has for you. Find out what God wants for you. Stand on that. Be confident in that. And then follow through. Follow through. You will be entrusted to the grace of God. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will be in partnership with Him. Now that should encourage you if nothing else does. What you are doing this morning, is it hard? Do you want to give up? Have you grown discouraged? You're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Follow the command of the Lord and finish the work. Do what God has called you to do. Do what He's called you to do. And so He says, okay, we're going to keep on. Just because you reject, you keep on going on. I can tell you right now, me, I've already decided. Is it because I'm so strong? No, I'm not that strong. But I'm in partnership with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish the work. I'm going to finish the work. I'm going to do what He's called me to do. And you can too. And you must too. You must too. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And they thanked the Lord for His message. You and I do not know the consequences of our obedience in following the Lord. We do not yet know. You and I do not know the consequences of finishing the work He's called us. You and I do not know the full fruit that will come from being what He's called us to be, from doing what He's called us to do, from going where He's called us to go, from just being faithful in relationships. You say, I want to give up. It's not worth it. It's too hard. Don't give up. You don't yet know what the fruit will be of your faithfulness and your cooperation with the Holy Spirit. But here's something that can encourage you as we close this morning. Verse 49. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Chapter 13, verse 49. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Why? Because they were faithful. Why? Because they knew the command of the Lord and followed the command of the Lord. Why? Because they were in partnership with the Holy Spirit. God's call on your life, you may feel, is not nearly as grand as this morning. For you, it may be, God has called me to be a faithful mother, a faithful father, a diligent worker, any one of these things. If it is God's call, it is all equally honorable before the Lord, and He will reward you. And there will be fruit for doing what God has called you to do. Not in your own strength, in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We're going to stop here. We're going to pray for you right now. Keep this sheet of paper, or you can put it back there and then pick it up again next week. Next week we'll finish it up, okay? It's up to you, but you can keep on reading if you want to. But before our thoughts go this way and that way, let's pray right now. And let me pray for you. And you pray for yourself as well. God, we come to you right now. We thank you for Paul and Barnabas. What great examples for us. And Lord, we thank you for the instructive example of John Mark as well, who didn't finish. But you still give grace. You still give grace. And Lord, you redeemed him some point later. But Lord, we want to be like Paul and Barnabas. God, I pray for us this morning. I pray for your people this morning. May we, if we don't yet know your command in our lives, may we get together with you and hear from you, whether it is for the rest of our lives or whether it is short term and near term, the things that you are calling us to do and be. Lord, for some of us, I believe you're calling us just to be faithful in following you step by step, but day by day, in holiness and in honesty and in faithfulness. And Lord, that's your command. Help us to do it. Help us to do it. Lord, help us to get together with you in partnership with you, O Holy Spirit, to fully finish the work you've called us to do. Would you bring fruit out of our lives as we follow you? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.